this week, Parashat Toldot, we dove into the beginning of the Parsha, where we find Rivka pregnant with two boys, and she's very confused with what's going on.
Yeah, and she says a strange question. You know, what is my life worth it? It seemed a little bit dramatic for what she's experiencing. Why would she say such a thing?
Yes, Lama ze Anochi? It's a very dramatic question. And then also, later on, she's told that she has twins, but then when she gives birth, the Torah seems to be surprised that she has twins. So what's going on over there in the Psukim? Why is she so dramatic? Why is she surprised when she actually really has twins, even though she was told she's having twins? What exactly is going on in the Psukim over there? Hope you enjoy it. Take a look. So yes, sixth Parsha of Sefer Bereshit, sixth week of the war here in Eretz Yisrael. And in the past, we talked about the relationship between Esav and Yaakov, and also at the end of the Parsha, Yaakov taking the bracha from Esav, what actually happened over there. This year, I want to talk about the first psukim of the Parsha, a little into the Parsha, where we find Rivka Imenu being pregnant. And when she's pregnant, she feels this feeling inside of this running around. The kids, the children are running in her, and she doesn't know what to do. And when you read the psukim over there, there's a few very strong questions that have to be asked. First of all, Rivka comes out with a very strong statement. Lama ze anochi? What is it even worth it for me? Is this even worth it for me? What kind of a statement is that? Is this a statement we expect from one of our mothers, from Rivka Imenu? And then once she is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that she has twins in her stomach, that she will give birth to twins, Shnei Goim, Shnei Leumim, these big nations will come out of you. The pasuk then goes on to say, that Vehine, we said this many, many times, is like a, suddenly there were twins inside her. And again, you have to ask, why is this like a suddenly thing? Why is the Torah kind of surprised by the fact that she has twins inside her? We were just told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself that she was told that she has twins. So what exactly is going on over there in the first psukim when the Torah describes Rivka's pregnancy and the birth of Yaakov?
Yeah, I agree. It's very unclear what she's asking. Why is her life not worth it? But also, what is the answer she's getting? How does that change everything? What is that actually answering? We have to understand both what bothered her, what was answered, and then again, what the surprise at the end is. And to me, this reminds these words of Lama ze anochi, reminds me of someone else, another one of our mothers who spoke about around the same topic about having children, Rachel, who turns to Yaakov and says that if I don't have children, neta anochi, same word of anochi, my essence, my whole existence is gone, is dead. It's a feeling of that she has a certain purpose. Till today, we still call them our mothers. They see their role of being the mother of Am Yisrael as who they are, of what their responsibility is in this world. And says Rachel, if I don't do that, then my whole essence is gone. If I don't fill that role. But Rivka says something differently. She is anochi. She is doing what she thinks her mission is. But she says, what is it for, this anochi? Meaning something bothers her with what she's experiencing. But maybe if we think about it, we know that Rivka's role model here is Sarah. That's the last generation. We know that also for Yitzchak, Rivka is filling that place of Sarah. And we know that by Avram, Avram had two children. He had Ishmael from Hagar, and he had Yitzchak from Sarah. Rivka sees herself maybe as the same. She's supposed to bring the next Yitzchak into this world, right? She's replacing Sarah. She's continuing Sarah. And suddenly when she feels this mess inside of her, this craziness, as Chazal say, she goes by Avodah Zarah and they're being pulled. There's something going on there which doesn't fit her model of what her role is of bringing the next Yitzchak into the world. Maybe this reminds her of the Pere Adam of Ishmael. Pere Adam, Yado Bakol, Viad Kol Bo. He's everywhere. He's grabbing everything. That's what she feels inside of her. And she suddenly thinks, maybe I'm the Hagar. Maybe I'm bringing the Ishmael into this world. Yes, I do have a child. I am bringing life into this world. But is this the mission I'm here for? Is this what I'm here for? I want to bring the next Yitzchak into this world, the next stage, not the next Ishmael. And that is what Hashem is telling you. You have, yes, something going on inside of you, but don't worry. It's not because you have Ishmael inside of you. It's because you have both. It's because by you, you're bringing both those sides into the world. There are two worlds inside of you. This isn't like Sarah, who only brought one side. You have two worlds. Shnei goyim bevitech, shnei leumim imayich iparedu. You're going to separate into two totally different worlds. Both of them are in you. You're not just bringing the Ishmael into the world, you're also bringing the Yitzchak into the world. But if we look carefully, Hashem doesn't say at any point that there are actually two babies in her womb. He just says that there are two worlds that are coming out. Maybe in Rivka's eyes, at this point, she understands, okay, this child is a mix of worlds. He's also a Yitzhak and also Ishmael all together. And at some point, he's going to bring into the world these two sides. But this concept of twins is not something we saw till now in the Torah. I don't know how familiar she is at this point that she actually could be having two children within this one birth. And when she finally gives birth, that's the moment when she suddenly sees, v'hineh tomim bevitna, there's actually two now inside of her. But inside of her now, there are those two worlds. And maybe this is also the exact point, where as opposed to Yitzchak, who sees Esav and Yaakov as two halves that are completing one, and therefore he thinks, okay, Yaakov's going to be the spiritual one, and Esav's going to be the physical one, and they'll help each other, they'll build something together, I'll give the blessing of the land to Esav. And no, Rivka knows that there are two worlds here, and they're going to be separated. They're going to separate each in their own. And when she sees that there actually are two people here, two babies, that's when she understands that Yaakov Avinu has the role building on his own, in the full completeness, the ability to build out Am Yisrael. She realizes that she's holding actually both the Yitzchak and Ishmael, and therefore she makes sure that this Yitzchak, this Yaakov, really can continue and develop and fill his role in this world.
Very good, very good. I'm going to get back to that point you just said about realizing what happened when she gave birth, realizing what was within her when she gave birth. We'll get back to that point, but I want to take a step back again and go all the way back to last week's parasha, when Rivka was sent off by her brother, by Lavan, with Eliezer. They gave her a very unique bracha. You will be thousands of thousands of people. You will have many, many descendants coming out of you, Rivka. That was the blessings they gave her. This is a blessing we still use today. Many times in weddings, we give this bracha. And knowing that that's the blessing she got. And in the beginning of this week's parasha, when the Torah tells us that for 20 years, Rivka was barren and they didn't have any children. And then finally, she is pregnant. Well, she's not like Sarah, who had to wait until the later years when she was in her 90s. But it did take her 20 years. And then when she was finally pregnant, this battle within her is driving her towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is this battle about? And then again, like we keep on saying, you have to pay attention to the language the Torah uses, because these words of Lama Ze Anochi, if you take a peek a little bit ahead and a few more psukim, they sound very much like another question we find over there in the next story. When Esav comes back from the field and he's tired, and Yaakov says to him, sell me your Bechorah, sell me the fact that you are firstborn. Esav says, Lama li ze Bechorah? Why do I need this? And Esav points out on something very specific. Why do I need this thing for myself? And it kind of echoes this question from Rivka saying, Lama ze Anochi? But then Rivka takes that Lama ze Anochi, and what she does in reality, she goes, Vatelech lidrosh et Hashem. She uses it to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Esav, of course, from that question, Lama li ze Bechorah? He then moves on even to disrespect the Bechorah, Va'ivaz Esav et HaBechorah. And Rivka Imenu, she takes it and goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to figure really out, what am I about? What do I have to be? Just like you're saying, I'm supposed to fill in for Sarah. Sarah Imenu had Yitzchak. Where is my Yitzchak? Where is my child? What's going on within me? Am I really going to have thousands of descendants coming out of me, which will be thousands of different people of different ideas of different nations? What's going on over here? What's going on within me? And then this is maybe the surprise that happened when she gives birth. We have to pay attention again to the Hebrew. The word tomim, Rashi points it out right away, is in Ktiv Chaser, is missing a letter. It's not like the word teomim that was later on by Tamar that had twins. Also here, Rivka had twins, but it's spelled tomim without the aleph. And Rashi points out there's a very big difference between the two cases. Rashi points out that over there by Tamar it's two tzadikim, and therefore it's a full word. It's teomim with an aleph. But yet by us, it's one tzadik and one rasha, and that's why it's missing a letter. But you can't ignore the fact that this word tomim is missing a letter. And when you see the word in the Torah, tomim, it very much resembles and look like another word that we know in relation to Yaakov and Esav. Because again, in just a few psukim, we will find that Esav is an ish sadeh and Yaakov is an ish Tam Yoshev Oalim. Yaakov is the one that we refer to as a Tamim, as somebody on the one hand. Tamim today in modern Hebrew is somebody who is a little bit naive, somebody who is a little bit simple. But in the Hebrew language, Tamim also means somebody who is complete, somebody who is whole. Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha, as we know. Yaakov Avinu was that person. He was the Ish Tam. And maybe this is what's happening over here. Like you're saying, but a little bit differently. Rivka Imenu has Yaakov and Esav, and she wants to make sure that her descendant, she has this one person to move on, to continue to build Am Yisrael, that has the different powers within him. The powers of both the holiness of bringing Kedusha into the world, but also the powers of elevating this world to a higher level, taking Olam HaMaaseh and bringing it up to a higher level, so in order to bring good into the world. And then when she sees the twins come out, when she sees Yaakov and Esav, Esav was already done. Esav was asui. You know what? You can't do anything with him. There's nothing more to be done with him. You can't change him. You can't even educate him. He's done. That's it. There's nothing to do with him. However, with Yaakov, he's an ishtam. He was a tamim. Vine tomim bevitna. Tamim, from the concept of Tamim, she sees this Tamim within her. She sees this Yaakov, the one that has the potential to take both worlds within him. The one that has the potential to take also the spiritual world, the Olam of the Kedusha, the Olam of the holiness, but also this earthly world, the materialistic world, and then combine them both and bring them up and elevate them up to a higher level. This is what Rivka sees right over there in Yaakov, and this is why the Torah then continues on to tell us that Yitzchak loves Esav, because that's what he knows how to do. We know the famous Rashi that says that Esav would go and deceive his father. This is what he can do, because again, Esav can't change. He's an asui. He's already done. All he can do is lie. All he can do is deceive. That's what he does with Yitzchak. Yitzchak, we talked about it last week, with his ability to see, or his ability not to see anymore. He doesn't use his eyes anymore. Yitzchak sees other things that we don't see in our worldly eyes, in our normal eyes. But Rivka is the one to see already from the birth, from the second they came out. She looked at this Tamim. She looked at these Tomim Bevidna Vineh. It was a surprise. Suddenly she sees Yaakov. This is the one who's going to lead. This is the one who'll take Esav's powers and use it for the good. This is the one, V'yado Chesed Be'akev Esav. This is the one that's going to be there on Esav to make sure to pull him down when is needed. V'rav Yavod Tzair. He's going to be the one to make sure to use these powers of Esav, but to use them for the good in the world. This is what Rivka sees. And then also, as we've discussed in the past, this is why later on she tells Yaakov to go and make sure he gets the bracha. Gets the bracha that was supposed to be for the earthly, for the materialistic part of the world, to make sure he gets it too, because it's within him. This is what makes him tamim. This is what makes him complete. This is Yaakov Avinu. And then from this, Yaakov Avinu can later on, as we've also discussed in the past, can go and fight the Malach of Esav and become Am Yisrael, because this is our job in this world. We keep on seeing this. We've discussed it so many times in the past, and this is what's going on today. All over the world, we see the good of the world. We see the right of the world, and then we see the bad. We see the evil. We see the wrong. Everything that's wrong in the world. This is the battle that is getting so clear now. This is what Rav Kook talks about very famously in Orot HaMilchama. Kshayesh Milchama Ba'olam, when there is a war in the world, Mitoreret Oro Shel Mashiach, the concept of a Mashiach, the concept of a Berur, to sift through the noise, to sift, just like Borer on Shabbos, to clarify, the idea of clarifying and making things more clear. This is what happens when there's a war in the world, says Rav Kook. This is what's going on now. It's becoming very, very, very clear who's on the right side of history and who's on the wrong side of history. The ideas are battling each other. The ideas, the concept of fighting each other, and when they hit each other, this is what becomes clear. The truth becomes more and more and more clear. And this is what we have to keep on reminding ourselves. This is what we are about. This is our job in the world. Everything starts with us. Everything begins here and shines onto the world, whether we want it or not, whether we wanted this job or not. This is what we are here for. This is our job. This is what Eretz Yisrael is here for. This is why everything is here. Everything is focused on here. Even though we're a speck on the global map, still all cameras are focused on us, and everything that we do here is enhanced 100 times, because this is what we are about. Our job is to make sure that we take this world and we elevate it up to the higher level. This is what Yaakov does. This is the Tamim. This is the Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. Sometimes you have to go all the way down and fight and battle evil on the evil's level, because you can't battle evil on the high level. Sometimes you really have to go deep. You have to go low, to the lowest of the low, in order to destroy evil. so that evil won't exist anymore. And you have to do it on their terms, in their language, because otherwise they don't understand your language. But after that, we have to remember that our job is to bring everything back up, is to elevate everything back up. This is what Am Yisrael is about. This is what Rivka sees already over here. And this is maybe why she's so surprised to see V'hineh Tomim
Bevitna. Yeah, and you know, maybe what happens here also answers something that everyone talks about later. Everyone sees this story with Rivka not telling Yitzchak, like trying to do this whole trick, sending Yaakov so he'll get the... Why doesn't she just speak to Yitzchak? And it seems like she can't speak to him about this. There's something here, and if we look, it already starts in our psukim. Because what does she do? We would think, if she wants to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or she turns to him by herself, or she turns to Yitzchak. Why does it say, Vatelech lidrosh et Hashem? Where did she go? So Chazal gave us an explanation. She went to Shem. Why? Yitzchak isn't enough. Yitzchak the Navi. Who else? Who's more fit to speak to? She wants to speak to God and she feels she can't do it alone. Why doesn't she speak to Yitzchak? But it seems that already here she realizes if what she's worried about is that she's bringing the Ishmael into the world, she can't speak to Yitzchak about this. She wants to understand. It's not Yitzchak. Yitzchak, she sure has to bring good into the world, but maybe she's the one who's bringing the Ishmael. And even when she understands that there's two worlds within her, she's not ready to tell that to Yitzchak. Yitzchak, the Olat Tmima, again, that word, the Tamim, he can't handle that. He's above this world. He sees Esav and Yaakov, and you were saying he doesn't see like everyone else. He sees maybe La'atid Lavo, when Mashiach comes, where they'll complete themselves, they'll come together, and they'll really be able to complete each other and to add to each other. But that's where he is. He's not able to see that within him right now, there's an Esav, and there's this evil that's there, and she sees this. And she understands, as you're saying, that there's good and there's evil, and we have to make that distinction. We can't just try to mix it all together and hope it works. We have to make that distinction, and therefore she chooses the side. She sees the tam, she sees the tamim, and she realizes that that's where she needs to focus to build Am Yisrael.
Very good, very good. Bezat Hashem, we will continue to crush the evil out of this world until the job will be done and should be done very, very soon. Bezat Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch will continue protecting us, protecting our soldiers in this battle, and we shall be victorious very, very soon. Shkoyach Yitzi.
Shkoyach Tuvia, Shabbat Shalom, Sarat Tuvah. Shabbat Shalom, Sarat Tuvah, and Yitzhak Hashem.